A wife needs a strong family unit. Affairs like the one between Anne and Drew are not common, but they do happen. I've counseled several couples like Anne and Terry, and every situation repeatedly impresses on me the wife's strong need for a family unit. Despite the current trend among many young couples to avoid having children, I still believe that the vast majority of women have a powerful instinct to create a family. Above all, wives want their husbands to take a leadership role in this family and to commit themselves to the moral and educational development of their children. The ideal scenario for a wife is to marry a man whom she can look up to and respect, and then have her children grow up to be like their father. In the Bible, Jewish parents were advised, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Proverbs 22:6. Whatever their religious convictions may be, most of the wives I counsel have no trouble seeing the wisdom in the above words. They also expect their husbands to play a key role in training up the children. Women seem to know instinctively what we psychologists have discovered in research and practice. A father has a profound influence on his children. My own father exerted a powerful influence on my educational and moral development. He may not have known it at the time because I often disagreed with him on many issues. Upon reaching adulthood, however, I found myself leaning toward his views more often than not. This development of my own moral values was extremely important to my mother, and I am certain she gives him a great deal of credit for training me up in the way she wanted me to go. In families where the father takes little interest in his children's development, the mother tries desperately to motivate him to change. She buys him books on parenting and leaves them in convenient places. She coaches him to attend seminars sponsored by the church or PTA. She may even ask him to talk with a family counselor in the hope that he can be inspired to greater interest and commitment. Her efforts usually meet with only partial success. More often, she becomes frustrated by excuses, delays, and other unenthusiastic responses on her husband's part. Not uncommonly, such a mother starts looking to other men in her family or a circle of friends to meet her need. She believes the children have the need, but in reality, the need is hers. She must have a man contributing to the well-being of her children. Sometimes a grandfather does the trick. Other times, a man like Drew appears and takes the place of the father with the children and the place of the woman's husband as her lover. What does a woman really mean when she says she wants her children to have a good father? Behind that remark lie expectations of responsibilities she wants him to fulfill. Ironically enough, they often conflict with his need for domestic support, which we considered in the last chapter. In order to deal with such a situation, the couple must achieve open communication in two important areas, time and training. Parenting takes time, lots of time. In addition to giving his wife 15 hours of undivided attention and spending about 50 hours making a living, a man also needs to devote time to his family. He can strengthen both his marriage and his ties with his children by developing what I call quality family time. This is not to be confused with childcare efforts parents make to feed, clothe, and watch over children to keep them safe. Quality family time is when the family is together for the express purpose of teaching the children the value of cooperation and care for each other. I recommend 15 hours a week for quality family time. At first, those hours may seem impossible to find in your schedule. Perhaps your first week will only allow 5 hours for your family. But if you increase that by only 1 hour a week, in 10 weeks, you will find yourself right on target with only minimal effort. What should you plan on doing during these hours? Consider activities such as meals together as a family, going out for walks and bike rides, attending religious services, conducting family meetings, playing board games together, attending sports events, reading to the children before bedtime, helping the children with financial planning, family projects. Be certain these are fun for the children and that they do not work on them alone. Naturally, your list will also include other things you enjoy. Every family has different priorities. Your aim is family togetherness. During this time, encourage family members to help each other, showing cooperative spirit. Make it a time for fun with your children, not a time of drudgery. As your children realize mom and dad will spend time giving them undivided attention, they begin to look forward to the time. If you have children under the age of 12, you will find it fairly easy to motivate them to spend time with you in this way. Once they reach their teens, however, expect that they will begin to tax your ingenuity. Now they want to spend most of their time with their friends. Your family begins to see less and less of them. To compensate, develop well-planned events aimed at teens. Otherwise, they will express their dissatisfaction clearly and with great vigor. If your children have grown up with such family time, it should not be too hard to get them to continue the practice. That doesn't mean you will not be challenged by teens who have other plans. But with some more thought and perhaps more expense in your plans, you can develop something your teens will agree to continue.